It's the 26th of February, 2015, in Los Angeles, California, the Lucy Coleman Studio, the United States of America, here on the good, great planet Earth. This is PJ, your internet pastor, thanking you for coming by the website, johnecoleman.org. I want you to tell your friends about it. That's Eric Reed in the background playing from one of his nicer albums, personally signed by Eric to me, Stan. I think that's one of the finest albums that he's ever done. A number called Prayer. And it was just perfect for this album. Eric Reed on the piano, Willie Jones III on the drums, and Rodney Whitaker on the bass. I want to share something with you. Just a short webcast this morning on the way to give my third quiz this week at the college. What a semester. But first, before I get into that, I would like to thank a number of people. Neil Robinson, thank you very much. Leonard Lyles, thank you very much. And, of course, the Wigglies, thank you very much. I appreciate you. I love you so much. It makes my afternoons a little bit better when I can go and get a nice hearty lunch of green salad and grade some papers while I'm there, smiling and enjoying myself. What am I going through right now? I'm going through, a pinched nerve in the left shoulder. Have you ever had something like that? It just nags you all day long. But like a 95-year-old sister told me a number of months ago, she says, "Mister, ignore the pain. It ain't going away, but ignore it and do what you have to do." And to a young friend of mine that was working and got fired because they accused him of being a criminal, my goodness, what a wonderful email. He said, "I am so in love with myself." And then he said, "Had some of the best news today. I was fired because of my criminal record." "Am I a criminal?" He said, "No, but this is a sign from God." And then he says, "I must pursue my dreams to be a CEO and an entrepreneur, creating my own brand. So happy to be free from other expectations." I wrote him and I said, "Do it, young man, do it. The world is waiting." I love that kind of enthusiasm, that kind of ambition. Don't let anything hold you back. I haven't always been that kind of a person, but I think that's a good way to be. The guy received other admonition. Someone wrote him and said, "When one door closes, another one opens." Now, that has to be someone of age. They know that. But you know what? I've had to make a decision this week. I've had to make a decision to give up on a protege, because a protege has had enough time to get on board. You know how they say, get on board. But when the protege doesn't get on board, the mentor has to leave him, has to leave him where he is, because it's time to go on to progressive. Let me try to make up a word. Progressivality. And let me say this. What a wonderful time I had yesterday. Student asked for a time for us to meet on the campus, and I did. And I was speaking with this student, and I looked around me, and lo and behold, there were, 4 other guys listening in to the conversation on the campus as I was giving some counsel to one male student. And out of the blue, know what he asked me? He asked me, he says, "Listen, I need a mentor. How about it?" Man, how encouraging and how exciting that is. But then, when I get back to home base, another so-called protege had to be kicked in the wind, because I'm looking for some results, not excuses. And as a good mentor, you don't argue with the mentor. Listen, for some of you guys that's going to ever grow up and become a leader, never argue with your protege. Tell him to get out of your face. Because if a protege will not listen to a man that has been successful, in life, then there's no hope for that protege. That protege is going to be a street urchin going from one place to the next. Protege told me the karma is going to catch up with me. Well, I hope so. You know, I think that the best way that a person can help a young man is to read the riot act to him. Let him know that life is not, you know, I like this other young man that was 26 years old. Life is not going to be easy. And you know what, for the black man, God help us, really. Because when you're young, you do things, and when the system is geared to think that, man, that's ridiculous, that everyone is perfect, everyone is not. There is so much imperfection around these days that you'd be lucky to find someone that is seriously inclined to do the things that needs to be done. So let's keep a positive look at our youngsters, and the ones that require the help, let's give them the help. But the ones that don't want the help, you got to move on. Hey, one of my students asked me to read this book by Jefferson Beethk. I guess that's the way you are. Beethke. B-E-T-H-K-E. He wrote a book called Jesus versus Religion. Why is he so much better than trying harder, doing more, and being good enough? This is a great little book right here. And the reason that I like the book, and I'm going to buy a copy today, I'm going to go to the bookstore and pick one up because I haven't finished reading it, but I think it's a great little book that answers the question, would Jesus back up the religion, everything that is going on in the churches today, or would he back up genuineness, someone being real, as opposed to someone being religious? It's an interesting book. I want to thank my student for providing that text for me to read. One more thing I want to talk about this morning, and I think it needs to be addressed. It's a good issue, and it's the question. And it really hit me because I asked some of my students in our Philosophy 1 class, you know, I'm always jumping ahead because I see these students as young people and they're going to be the future. Now, of course, as a man of faith, and what I mean by that, not an evangelical Christian, I don't see myself as that. And I have a few of those in my class, and I make it perfectly clear that I am no evangelical, because if you're an evangelical, it's kind of like you got to follow the route of that religion in order to be well accepted in a company of believers. You have to think like they think. I believe that if an individual makes his prayer request known unto God one time, listen to me, you go to God one time. And let me tell you what my fault has been. And then maybe as I share with you what my fault has been, it will help you not to make the very same mistakes that I made over the years repeatedly. And I make those mistakes because what I do in my own in particular way is I find myself playing God. Really, you know, I show this person the good way, the perfect path, and that person, out of sheer obligation to follow that which is good, will listen to what I say and do that because they see the benefit of the good, honest life. Well, that's not true. That's not true. You can, what's the old adage that my grandmother and grandfather used to teach me years ago? You can take the horse to the water, but you cannot make him drink it. That's very true. You can take a person to the trough of life and you can say, now here is what you are promised. Listen to me. Here is what you are promised if you latch hold to it. Now, I'm gonna do the thing like I always do it. I'm gonna roll back and I'm gonna grab my, here it is, I'm gonna grab my Bible and I'm just gonna open it to a New Testament text and I'm gonna start reading something to you. And I turn to, my goodness, look, at Luke chapter 6, and I want to read to you starting at verse 39. These are the words of Jesus. And he spoke a parable unto him. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? They will both fall into a pit. Now, the admonition that Jesus gives, he says, who are you, John Coleman, to attempt to try to lead anyone to the light when you yourself are in a dark room clouded by distractions and things that are aberrations and abnormal and just basically right out stupid, okay? I'm taking a look at me in the mirror of life's present situation. How can I guide someone to the light if I am in the dark? I'm telling you, I was speaking with one of my proteges, and I had another protege with me. The other protege was doing some artistic work and showing me his work. As a matter of fact, if you've been on my Facebook, you can see a caricature of myself. And this man had made this caricature, and he was working on another one. And a pretty fine piece also, when another protege comes by. Well, the other protege begins to argue with me. Now, the older protege corrected, and they're both grown men. And he said, you don't talk to John like that. He said, do you know what this man has done for you in your life? And you speak to him like that in his home? I just laughed. I just smiled. And then the other protege said, who are you to correct me? And he said, I correct you as a man. You are out of line. Now, you know what? I didn't tell the guy to do that. The guy's been sitting under my wisdom. I got two black men, both sitting under my wisdom. At times, both eating my food. Sometimes when I prepare a meal, I prepare it for the young men. But a young man just walked in, and I said, you don't walk in my life without an explanation of what in the heck you're doing in yours. I don't want to talk about it. I said, you're going to talk about it. You're going to talk about it, or you are no longer a protege. I am no longer your mentor. I said, you can't come around me and not talk about it. You're going to talk about it because I'm the one that's going to direct you. Now, I want you to look at verse 40 of Luke chapter 6. It says, a pupil is not above his teacher. This is a very important principle that I want you to fully understand. No pupil is ever above his teacher. And nowadays, these youngsters, these proteges think that they are. I don't think that they understand the role of a mentor. They don't understand it. See, listen. A pupil, and I just turned to this in the Bible. I didn't look it up because that's what I do. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. So you see, if the protege is not fully trained, if the protege is not on the road to recovery, like his teacher has recovered from certain things that pull him down, well, he's to be like his teacher. He's not to argue with his teacher. This is a very important principle for those of you that are attempting, are trying to get through to a younger generation that doesn't understand the role of a mentor and a protege or a disciple. You see, I mean, wouldn't that, one time I read in the Bible, one time, it's only Peter. this character, Peter, comes to Jesus, and Jesus is telling Peter, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to die. I'm going to be taken advantage of. This is going to happen. And guess what Peter says to Jesus? He says, don't say those things. That's not going to happen to you. You can look up the text on your own. And Jesus said to Peter, shut up. You're speaking the things of Satan, not of God. Because Jesus was saying, since you're my disciple, since I'm the leader, because there are leaders and followers. And let me tell you guys something out there. You're in your 20s and you're talking to a guy over 70 years old. Hey, I ain't following nobody in their 20s. Because number one, y'all older people, listen to me. They don't know diddly squat. All they know is some 20 some odd years of life. Now here I've lived three of them. Three of them. And what tickles me, whenever they try to challenge me, I laugh at them and they say, what are you laughing at me? I said, you're funny. You know nothing. You don't even know how you're going to make it from your 30s to your 40s, and your 40s to your 50s, and your 50s to the 60s. That's 30 years right there. And I ain't even talking about 60s to the 70s. I mean, I'm talking about generations, and they're gonna be, come on, man. Wait, look at verse 41. You following along with me? Jesus says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log that is in your own eye? Tell me that's not wisdom from above. Well, you know, when the one protege questioned the other one, who invited you in the conversation? I said, excuse me, in my home, all young black men are allowed to speak. And no one is able to shut down that black man but me. Because I'm the mentor. You don't have anything to say here. I said, now, if you want wisdom, if you want an approach, listen, older people, those of you even have children in your house that talk back to you. You need to tell them, you need to get one thing straight here. I am in charge of my house and my life. Look at verse 42. It says, or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? And then Jesus calls him a name. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly in order to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You see, this is where growth and maturity takes place. See, the Jesus that I know is not the caricature going around talking about success and prosperity, just simple wisdom. You know, we like to study the philosophers of old, the Greek mythological people and mythological history, but let's go back 2,000 years ago and get in touch with the real Jesus of the Bible that will call a shot a shot. Now look, protégés, pay attention to what Jesus says in verse 43 of Luke chapter 6. He says, for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit. See what I'm talking about? Nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. In other words, he says, you is what you is. If you're an idiot, you're an idiot. If you're a nincompoop, you're a nincompoop. If you're a wise disciple that listens to, you know, one of my students asked me, would you mentor me? I was honest. I said to the student, do you have a dad? And he said, yes, I do. I said, I would ask you to go home and ask your dad to mentor you. But then I saw preciousness on his face. Like, you know, I can't go there. And I changed my mind. And I said, I would be glad to help you out. And you know what? This student was not African American, and this is what is problematic to me. The African American male who needs good mentorship, and I'm talking about people that know me, because since I am your mentor, I let you know me. I'm not lying about anything in my life. You know what I'm all about, 100% up front, because that's the way God has been with me. God has been 100% up front. I was on the way to work yesterday. I was crying out to God, and I said, you know what I want to do. You know how I want to influence. You know what my life is all about. It's not about John Coleman. It's not about me. I want to glorify your name. I want to do something to bring homage to you. I want to lift up the community around me. I want to give people hope. I recall this young man that spoke about getting fired off of his job. He said that he was fed up with it because he got into a bureaucratic system. And when you get into a bureaucratic system and you're under 30, you've got to play the bureaucratic game. And in playing that bureaucratic game, you can't enter into the workforce and have any kind of negativeness on your name, because when they dig and they find out about the negativity in your life, they're going to raise that, especially if one person in the bureaucratic thing doesn't like you. I am grateful. Listen, you guys ain't getting it here, and I want you to get this. Be grateful for what you have. Do you understand? Be grateful for what you have. All right, I give up. Help me, man. No, I don't want to play Be Grateful. There's another number that I want to play right now that really answers the question, because since I'm quoting from Luke chapter 6 and those verses, and it's in the red letter edition, so I know that those are the words of Jesus. Let me address this for those of you that don't believe in the historical Jesus. He was a man that existed on the planet Earth. The Muslims know him because they write about him in the Quran. Okay? Judaism knows about him because their Old Testament prophecies books speak about him. Of course, you had his proteges, the original disciples or apostles. Most of them, practically all of them, gave up everything for this man. They weren't like the Buddhas. They weren't like the Sikhs of. He wasn't like the Sikhs of other religions. He was a man that was unique. Unfortunately, we see Jesus as someone that is a madman speaking. But Bob Bennett shares with us in this magnificent piece, a carpenter gone bad. Is that what you think Jesus is? Listen to Bob Bennett's rendition of this man and see if you agree.
There's a man down in the street. Says he's the Messiah.
That's what he said. Listen to the argument.
Telling people he is the chosen one.
That's what he said. But listen to this.
Says that he is in the Father.
He said he's in the Father and what? Listen.
The Father's in the Son.
Listen, keep telling me something, Bob. Wham.
Empty nets made full of fish.
Yes.
Blind eyes to see.
Yes.
Didn't he used to work
with wood in Galilee? Yes, he did. He was a man just like you and me. Listen.
Now he's in the synagogue.
Telling people what?
Telling people they are wrong.
Yes.
To live as whitewashed tombs.
Don't live as a whitewashed tomb. Full of dead man's bones. That's what religion is. Listen.
Some say he is the Son of God.
Some people say he's that. Listen.
Others laugh and call him mad.
Yeah, he sounds like a madman. Listen.
But do you think he's who they say he is?
Just a what?
Just a carpenter. Gone bad.
See, that's what a lot of people think about me. I'm a philosopher going a little Looney Tune, a little crazy here, but I want you to listen, and 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 listen. Come on, Bob. Give me verse 2.
Yes. People talking about him wherever I go.
And they're still talking about him today. He's a man of history.
He teaches with authority.
Teaches with authority.
It's something I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know because you ain't listening.
They say it is his fervent prayer.
Yes, listen.
We'd stay in the Father's care and believe that he.
Believe that he what?
Is the Word made man.
He's the Word made man. Ah, listen.
Some say he is the Son of God. Others laugh and call him mad.
Sing it, Bob. Just a carpenter gone bad. Is he just a carpenter gone bad? Because a lot of people believe that about Jesus. Or is he the man that he claimed to have been? That's the issue that confronts us today in modern America. And why do I say that? Because my students tell me that America has no religion. You know, when you think of Afghanistan, Iraq, and all that, when you think about the Far East and you think about Vietnam and all those places, they have their religion. They have their God. We have none. We've turned our back on him for the pleasure king. And once you turn your back on God, God will turn his back on you. Now, I know it's difficult for you atheists to believe this because you're experiencing life. But I want to tell you, as a man of 71, and I have more aches and pains now than I've ever had in life, I really have to seek God for the strength to carry on each day. Because, whoo, man, I'm trying to get a hook on making it through life every day with pain. And one of the things that keeps me motivated and keeps me going is me working with these young men. And I'm not talking about pushing religion down their throats. I'm just talking about practicality. Practicality. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. A person that makes a nice warm meal for you and takes you in, especially during these difficult times for people, because there's a lot of people that are going through horrific times. PJ is still doing his part. And like I want to thank you, Brother Robinson. I want to thank you, Brother Lyles. I want to thank you, Brother and Sister Wiggly. I want to thank you from the depths of my heart because you are concerned. Let me read a letter that I got. And this is a great letter. Oh my goodness. I was so pleased. Dear Pastor John, pretty good Super Bowl game tonight. Watched it with my wife. That's wonderful. Felt impressed to send you a gift. And, you know, you know what I said? My Lord, thank you. God hears your request or your prayers while you yet call on him. Don't ever forget that. Well, just a 30-minute webcast because you know why. I have to get ready to go to that college and teach some logic and stuff. And so it has been just a wonderful time this morning in the Lucy Coleman studio. I thank God that this room is still being used for what its intention was. Years ago, a person gave me a proposition on what to use this room for. And I told him, I said, man, that would be sacrilege. And you're not going to find me going that way. Somebody gave me a proposition yesterday at a business place. He wanted me to be the middleman for this business. And he got the idea when he went to another city and came back here. And he said, you're the perfect man for that. And I said to myself, I said, why would another black man come to me and try to let me be the the persuading factor in making money, and why would he want to give me a cut if he couldn't do that himself, if there wasn't something shady about it? See, you got to be able to pick up shadiness very soon. So I told him, I said, I'll give it some thought. Give me a call. And when he gives me a call, or when I see him again, I would say, the answer is no. And if he asks for an explanation, I said, you just need to go with the answer. He's a far younger man than myself. I'm teaching him a lesson. I'm not going to preach to him. I'm not going to try to get him to become spiritual. But what he's doing is he is trying to develop something where he can get something for nothing. You know what? You have to be very careful. When you look at 80% of our prisons are filled with black men, and you have certain black men that have smarts to make money, but they're using crookery to do that, then there's something wrong with that. Just think it through. Young person, thank you so much for coming to my site. Thank you for listening to my old music, to my old ideas, and me quoting from the lips of a man that has been dead some 2,000 years, but at the same time has never died. Figure that one out. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles. Until we meet again, you do know the drill. Stay into the blessed Word of God.